This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network.
We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
What's up? Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Water. I'm your host, JP. Today we have an awesome, awesome city to talk about. I've been waiting for the perfect guest to come on and share this experience with. Today we're going to be talking about New Orleans. We're going to be talking about Louisiana and everything that has to be offered down there. This is going to be a pretty awesome episode. My guest today is Christian Gershner. He's from New Orleans himself. He is a bass fisherman down there, and he's going to help guide us through everything down there. I'm going to throw a little bit of my input too, because I've been down to New Orleans, and it's an awesome, awesome place. So, guys, let's welcome Christian to the podcast. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Going well. It's going well. Thanks for taking the time out tonight and hopping on here.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to y'all.
You know, before we get started, we usually do a segment at the end of the podcast called One Sip. Everybody knows the rules. But we're going to do it early on today because we got a killer beer lined up, and it's pretty high in ABV. So we're looking at from Michigan, because Michigan's only pretty much Illinois, just except across the big pond. This is the KBS. This is the Cinnamon Vanilla Cocoa. It's a stout, so it's a very dark beer. We're looking at, 11% alcohol? Yeah, no, 12%. 12% alcohol. So this is going to be pretty stiff here. Let's give her a crack open. If this thing wants to catch, use challenge coins. There we go. All right. Let's give a little shout out to our show supporters, Pelican, Yak Gadget, 153, Rocktown Adventures. Without them, man, a lot of this couldn't happen, so we thank you guys. All right. You like that pour?
Beautiful.
All right, so right off the bat, you could smell that it's boozy and strong. See how dark that is. Little KBS action right there. Got that from Founders. So Founders beer and a KBS down in there. One sip. This is going to be a whole sip session, though. Here we go. Ooh, buddy. Yeah, that's great.
I'm taking it easy tonight with the Miller Lite.
That right there, when it's cold out like this, that'll keep you warm. Ooh, it's very cocoa-y. Does have some vanilla hints to it. Can't really taste the cinnamon yet, but I'm sure it's there. I just haven't gotten to that note yet. For a boozy drink, yeah, this gets a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
You heard it here on Off the Water. One sip. All right, so without any further ado, let's jump into the show. We got some drinks going. We got a lot to talk about one of the better places I've ever been to, New Orleans. And let's talk fishing and travel. So let's jump into it. Christian, tell us about yourself. Who are you? We know where you're from and what are you fishing for down, and where are you fishing down in New Orleans?
I'm born and raised here. Have never left. I actually grew up doing the inshore saltwater thing.
Sweet.
Speckled trout, redfish, stuff like that. I actually guided for a little while out of Velcro, Louisiana. And probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I started bass fishing in a little pond in my apartment complex, you know, just when I didn't have anything else to do. And I caught that first bass, and I was hooked. ever
it's
since
real.
Then, I've been, you know, anywhere in the Delta down here. I've made a couple trips up towards North Louisiana and fished Caddo Lake, stuff like that. But yep. Most of my fishing happens in the Delta.
So. Cool. We just had so the KB, and I know you're coming from the boating world, so some of the terms may not, you know, sound the same, but the KBF, which is the kayak bass fishing, it's pretty much the series that's out there right now, that everyone's umbrellaed. We had our national championship at Caddo out in Bossier City. Yeah, so I had the river. You're in Bossier City. Yep. So I was not able to make it, but I saw lots of pictures and lots of big bass were caught down there.
Definitely, they got some big ones in there.
So you're in the boating world. What kind of boat are you in right now?
I have a 1999 G3 side console bass boat. I just got it redone. It's all painted in a custom camouflage scheme.
Nice.
It's a 2000 Yamaha on the back, 115. So it's that just got freshly rebuilt everything. So it's like a brand new boat almost.
That's awesome. And then when you're down there, so I know you said you're fishing the Delta for the most part, you know, depending on the year, what are your favorite lures that you're throwing down there versus our fishing up here in the North?
I have recently become super confident in a chatterbait. It took me a long time to figure a chatterbait out. I started throwing it on a glass rod.
Yep.
And I would never throw it on anything else now. But I like a chatterbait. I like to go with an old school Bill Lewis rattle trap. And if, you know, there's a lot of riprap and stuff around here that we can get on. So my third would probably be a square bill, any kind of square bill.
I'll be throwing lots of square bills tomorrow morning, man. I'm fishing a river that's surrounded by lots of riprap. So chasing after some smallmouth before. This is probably going to be one of the two rod trips up here for myself.
Yeah, I'm a power fisherman. So if it's not a moving bait, I get bored real easy. That ADD kicks in quick.
Nice. So you said, and you also said you did some guiding on the coast as well. So when you were fishing for redfish, speckled trout, were you pretty much using all the variety of techniques that we know of from live bait and using artificials, or did you have a special technique?
I wasn't a big fan of live bait. I feel like I know a lot of people throw it. It kind of took the fun out of it for me. But I stuck with a popping cork probably 90% of the time.
Okay.
I'd tie a line to line with a, you know, braid to fluorocarbon leader. Mm-hmm. And then I like the old school little clip on weighted corks to where I could pop them off and adjust my depth and stuff like that. But other than that, it's either that or, you know, just a jig head on the bottom or something like that. But those were my two go-to things.
Did you have what kind of boat were you in when you were guiding down there?
I had an 18-foot Kenner. I don't know. I don't think they even really make them anymore. I think Mako, the Bass Pro Shop company, kind of took them over. But it was similar to a Mako. I had a little 18-footer, so I could only run a two-man operation. It was usually me and two people. But it was fun. I got married. So that kind of went out the window. You know, Matt, this is the best for a guide.
Yep. conversation we're having in our household the last couple weeks. So I feel you on that one.
I'm divorced now, so.
Well, I think it's funny. I think the decision was made for me, not necessarily by my wife, but by the state of Illinois. And I don't know if you follow any of like the DNR politics throughout the country that goes on here, but here in Illinois, because we are very corrupt and crooked, the Department of Natural Resources said, hey, guess what? If you're a guide, if you're doing photography in any of our state parks or property, if you're holding a tournament with more than 20 people, we want 10%. And the insurance that you have, that's $1 million policy, yeah, jack it up to 2 million, and it has to be with these companies. Oh, and if that ain't enough, if you have more than 20 people, you can't have food or beverage without a permit.
Wow. I mean, yep. I thought Louisiana and New Orleans was bad when it came to corruption, but damn.
Yo, man, we're all the kayak clubs, a lot of the bass club, like the big boat guys, we're all trying to fight it. But again, whatever fills their pockets, it don't matter to us, you know. So I think a lot of we don't matter to them. So I think a lot of us are going to be relocating to Wisconsin or Indiana. I mean, it's not like Illinois had great fishing to begin with, but now when it comes to turn, I mean, as a guide too, there's businesses and guide services that are purely based upon people coming in here. And if they can't make it, I mean, there's a place called Newton Lake. Yeah. It's been in Bassmasters as one of the top lakes to fish. Wow. The Sportsman Inn down there, this gentleman runs a guide service 24/7 down there. You know, you're taking a huge cut of his money, you know, and is it going to necessarily kill him off? I don't know. I don't know what his financial situation is, but I do know that 10% could have been, you know, that's what he's probably using towards keeping up his, his boats up to date, keeping his facilities up to date. Now you're taking that money on top of the high taxes you already have going on here. So point being was I was looking at becoming a guide for 2022, and I think that's going out the window now as this came out.
Yeah. Well, we have a lovely law when it comes to fishing down here as far as private waterways. And that is one of the reasons the major fish, you know, bass tournament trails, they won't come down here anymore after, I don't even remember when the last one was, probably the late 2000s. But because of oil and gas rights and stuff like that, the landowners of certain the land around canals and stuff like that, they technically own the waterways. So we've got people putting up gates and fences and stuff all over the place. People they'll shoot at you if you go.
Oh, absolutely.
You go down the wrong canal. You know, it's terrible.
All right. It comes back to that old adage that, you know, if it's a river that, even though it might be on a lake, but if it's a river that connected it, and if the river runs through, you know, technically what the constitutional law says, you don't own the actual river. You own the where the floodplain comes up to. But a lot of people don't see it that way.
The way I look at it, nobody can own tidal waters.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 90% of our stuff down here is tidal. I mean, even if you dug a canal out yourself on your land and it connects to, you know, the ebbs and flows of the Gulf of Mexico, it's still tidal. And I'm totally against that whole situation, but me as a single person can't really, you know, do anything about it.
Right. Right on. So what other lakes are you fishing? So you said the Delta, any other recommendations for fishing, down there, if someone wants to come down?
I mean, anywhere from, I do a lot of fishing out of what they call Chef Pass. It's, probably about 20 minutes, you know, towards the east side of New Orleans. We okay. also have the Atchafalaya Basin, which yes. is back up towards kind of between Baton Rouge and Lafayette. And then, you know, you can go further west towards Lake Charles, and there's a lot of good bass fishing out there.
Sure.
I'm actually trying to make a trip in 2022 out to what's it called? Gros Savon. I don't know if you've ever watched like Zona's awesome fishing show.
Yeah.
With him and Greg Hackney did a couple okay. episodes over there. It's a private lake, but it's some of the most amazing fishing you've ever seen. 5-6 pounders are very normal on a daily basis over there. So
that's awesome.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool, man. And then in terms of inshore fishing, you know, if you're going for reds or trouts or anything like that, I know Venice is the capital, redfish capital of America. Anywhere else you want to recommend or point people in the direction?
I grew up fishing Shell Beach and Delacro, which are two hugely popular inshore spots nowadays. During the wintertime, you can catch them 5 minutes from the launch. Redfish are all over down here. If you go back up into the marsh, you can catch redfish pretty much anywhere. But, you know, during the wintertime, you can go 5 minutes from the launch in the little canals and the smaller lakes and ponds and stuff and catch trout. And then during the summer, it's mostly going out to the oil rigs and stuff that are in, you know, the Gulf and in the bigger water.
Okay. Are you guys in the wintertime? Are you guys still seeing bulls around, or have they moved out for?
You can get them in the wintertime. It just depends on where you're at. They like a little bit of deeper water in the wintertime. But okay. I caught one. I catch a ton of them bass fishing. I caught one last week right after that. We had that first cold front, and the bass fishing turned on real good down here. And I caught one 34 inches on a chatterbait.
He probably had, did he get, well, I got to remember, you're not in the kayak here. I was going to say, did he give you a little sleigh ride?
Oh, trust me, even in my little 18-foot aluminum boat, I get pulled around a lot by
That's awesome.
I can only imagine what it'd be like in a kayak.
Oh, yeah, it's. You know, we got what's similar to what redfish in terms of strength. We got northern pike up here.
Yeah, and I've been wanting to get one of those.
Smallmouth
and pike are on my list.
Hey, I'll put you on both. If you ever come to Chicago, hit me up. I'll put you on both.
Sounds good.
Both in the same fishery, but awesome. we get some good sized northern in some of the rivers up here.
Yeah,
as soon as they hit, man, they take off. And then another good way or another good fish to fish for is when we get salmon and trout up here too. Okay. So right now on Lake Michigan, so the king salmon run is done. There's steelhead that are coming in right now. where I'm fishing tomorrow, I'm going after smallmouth, but I got a good possibility of hooking up with some steelhead too, just because they're swimming in the same waters right now at this time. And then, you know, like right now we're kind of with the weather cooling down, we focus on another good one. I don't know if you guys, do you fly fish at all?
No, I tried it a couple times. Just like kayak fishing, I get aggravated real easy when it comes to fishing because I just want to catch, and fly fishing is not for me either. I'm a big guy, so I just couldn't get used to the kayak, and I couldn't get used to the fly fishing.
we got brown trout. So like I said, kind of like Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, we're all kind of one big area that's just separated by Lake Michigan. So there's a lot of tributaries that come off Lake Michigan, not really in Chicago or Illinois, but Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan have them all. And there's some good brown trout fish. I'm actually a guest of mine who was on the podcast a couple episodes ago. He's coming out here from Denver, and we're going to go chase some brownies on the fly too. So
we actually have a playground out here that has a big pond in it that a lot of people bass fish in. You know, you catch a lot of the little 10-inch, 12-inch bass, and they stocked rainbow trout
there
for a little kid tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of guys that go out there and tear up the rainbow trout. I don't even know what they're using for those things. I've never caught them, but they say it's a blast.
Oh, they are fun, especially if you're catching them on the fly too. They're a lot of fun on the fly. But like conventional, a lot of guys use like little like inline spinners, or a lot of guys will use it's called power bait. And what it is, it's like Play-Doh.
Yeah.
You take either a singular or a treble hook, you roll it like dough around the treble hook, and then fish, because they're raised on a farm, it looks like a pellet of food coming down.
Yeah.
A trout has a brain about that big. So, hey, it's my food, and snap, and then set the hook, and you got yourself two fillets right there.
There you go. A lot of people talk about they don't like to eat largemouth bass, but that is one of my favorite fish to eat down here. They're delicious. Hey. Fry them up. They're awesome.
You know, I prefer we got them up here, and it's not that, you know, it's different taste for everybody. I'm more of I love perch and crappie.
Well, if I can get my hands on some crappie, I'll be all over. We call them sockeye down here.
Okay.
But
I've heard other guys too down there call them, what do they call them? They call them brim as well.
Yeah, brim.
Yep.
Sockeye is a Louisiana thing. That's the Cajun name.
Okay.
But that's like the filet mignon of fish.
Oh yeah, crappie are the best, man. So let's jump into it, man. Let's jump. You just mentioned Cajun. Let's jump into New Orleans. Let's talk about the city, the culture, everything that you call home, man. So you've lived there your whole life.
Yes, sir.
It'll be
33 years in February.
Now I gotta ask you, and you could go whatever avenue you want with this. Did you stick it out through Katrina?
Yes. I didn't stay. We lived in a part of town called Lakeview. I was a junior in high school when Katrina came through.
Okay.
Our neighborhood had about 17 feet of water in it. One of the levees that broke was literally at the end of my street, about a block and a half away from my house.
Holy now, Christ.
My dad was in the house when it happened. He wound up having to break a window and stayed on the roof for about a day and a half and got picked up by some firefighters in a little flatboat. He made it out. But I've never gone back to the actual city of New Orleans. I've always lived in what you'd call it the suburbs, but you know, New Orleans, Metairie, and Kenner, that's all kind of one. It's all the big metropolitan area, really. It's not really like the suburbs where you got to go, you know, 20 minutes out. It's all kind of the same thing.
Now, when I flew in, I flew into Slidell.
Okay, so yeah, that's across Lake Pontchartrain.
Yep. That'd
be more of a suburb. Like I said, New Orleans, Metairie, and Kenner, those are all like in a line before you have to cross a lake or anything like that. So it's all kind of one area.
Okay, cool. And then, talking about the fire, that was kind of like one of the last big things. I wasn't on the department yet, but our fire department, Chicago, that was one of the last big natural disasters we went and assisted with Katrina. Oh, okay. And I hear stories from guys who are still on the job who went down there, because I was you're a junior, I was a freshman when it happened, and I got on the fire department when I was 19, so
okay.
I got right out of high school. So, but hearing story, I mean it's crazy, and we were still actually just talking about yesterday. About how I was down there. So we went to go watch the Chicago Bears play the Saints a couple years ago. And I don't need to answer that. Put it this way. We had a better chance of meeting someone famous at walk-ons than we did winning that game.
I gotta say who that. That's my guys.
But you go, and obviously we didn't stay in the quarter. We stood in actual like downtown. And I can't remember the name of the street for my life. It's the street that the casino's on.
Oh, Canal Street?
Not Canal. Canal it would be east of there. So you had to come west.
I'm not 100% sure. And to be perfectly honest with you, I try to stay out of downtown New Orleans as much as possible, just because I'm not a big fan of no offense to you, I'm not a big fan of the tourists that frequent that area. I guess just being raised down here, like I don't necessarily like going to the quarter and going downtown. I mean, I'll do it every now and then, but I guess growing up here, it's kind of just a normal thing.
You're preaching to the choir, dude. At Chicago is the same way, man. There's certain areas. Like I live on the southwest side of Chicago. I live 5 minutes away from Midway Airport. So when I have a Chicago, it's a Chicago address. But when people think of Chicago, they think of like downtown and Wrigleyville and where Wrigley Field and all that is. I'm about a half hour. Now that's the other thing about city too, it's traffic. So like regular, like if you're in just a normal town, all right, it's probably about 25-30 minutes without any traffic, but there's always traffic during the day, so you're looking at an hour away just to get there. So I get it, and I don't like going down there because that's where all the tourist people, and they turn into a bunch of assholes. And then, and again, when I try to be respectful any city I ever go to, it's just manners. You don't want to, I don't know where I'm at. And if I ever get in trouble, I want to make friends with somebody who I know I'm going to, if I was ever in trouble, who's going to have my back. So
not everybody has manners these days. I see that all the time out in the boat. And now that, the whole Corona thing happened, everybody and their grandma decided to go buy a boat. And it just drives me nuts the crap you got to deal with out there.
even before Corona, like we do I've done tournaments. I was doing tournaments for 3 years, and I'll never forget the one time, you get, and no fault of his own because nobody's told him better, but give a college kid a bass boat and tell him to go fish Bassmaster Collegiate Series. Hey, I don't know where the channel markers are. Oh man,
I was 21, so I know.
Yeah. I was there too. Man, I know. you don't know any better, but it happens.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been going on. It's just, like you said, it's been fueled more now that everybody wants something to do where, you know, you couldn't be inside, so you'd be outside. So everyone decided to go recreational.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain. Bass fishing has gained so much popularity, and it's just become such a bigger thing now. And I like it, but there's so many people doing it now and so many people trying to make it in bass fishing that it's gotten crazy.
So let me ask you this. Have you seen increased fishing pressure on your lakes down there now that everybody's fishing? And has it affected the way your catch rates have? So are you catching smaller fish? Are you catching less numbers because more people are fishing now? How is it affecting fishing for you guys?
I haven't noticed it just because I know my way around the Delta so well. And
okay,
I can, especially in my boat, because I have a little aluminum boat, I can get back in the spots that a lot of guys can't get into. Most of the guys you see fishing where I'm fishing have, you know, bay boats, 18 to 26 foot bay boats. They're going out trying to catch speckled trout and redfish, and they go all, you know, close more offshore a little bit too. So I can get back up into the marsh and kind of stay away from the crowds, which I love. I mean, that's why I bought my aluminum boat. That's, I like to get away from everybody. So
that's like us with the kayaks, man.
You can get into more stuff than I can. So that's awesome. That's the one reason I would have wanted a kayak. I just can't. I'm not stable enough. I'm sure I'd get used to it if I kept trying it, but I fell out one time and I was done.
One and done, huh? all you were done, you just baptized into the water. Now you could do it and be a pro at it because you got your baptismal. Cool, man. So, you know, and around here, it's Chicago is a very unique place. And, you know, our fisheries are very delicate. And unfortunately, even before COVID, you know, with everything, really did spike that increase of people coming out to fish. Beforehand, you had people, you know, who were catching everything, not keeping fish within the limits, you know, keeping too many fish, too small fish, too big a fish. And it does really put the pressure on because we have a lot of lakes that are like glacial lakes, but the fish themselves, that we need to have stocking programs in order to sustain. And, you know, when you don't follow the regulations, that program doesn't do anything because now you're taken away from the fishery itself.
We get that a lot down here too. A lot of guys are, you know, we call them the bandits. They're always, you know, keeping whatever they catch. Doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter how many they catch, they're keeping them. So,
yep. And it, you know, again, you know, where it's somewhere big and sprout like a Delta, here it's, you're talking, you know, various sizes. We could be anywhere from 20 acres to, you know, like our biggest lake would probably be about 500 acres.
Okay.
And, you know, it's still in relative to some of the bigger lakes. That's very small.
Yeah.
That's a very small area for fish. So, but you know, I'm glad to see down there, you know, it's not affecting you guys as much as it is up here.
Yeah.
Cause up here it has taken a toll, you know, the fishing quality has gone down in some spots, but just like you, I know where to go though.
And a lot of people just can't find them. Like I know a ton of guys that I see at the launch, you know, every day that are going after speckled trout, and I can go sit in a couple spots that I know and just put them in the boat. And some people just can't find them. They're school fish. So if you can find one or two, there's more there. And, you know, some guys just can't find them.
Well, you know, we kind of veered a little bit off topic, but let's get back into it, man. So, all right. So New Orleans and Cajun culture. So, in the spirit of Cajun culture, do you have any Cajun or Creel stories you want to tell before we get into this about New Orleans or Louisiana itself to kind of veer our listeners and give them the intimate mood setting?
I will say, if you venture west of New Orleans out towards like the river parishes and the bayou parishes, be prepared to not understand anything that people are saying. Because I've lived here my whole life and I still don't understand them.
We call them
coon asses. And they got that, they'll mix in, you know, French when they're talking and all kind of stuff like that. So it's a little difficult. So just be prepared if you come down here and go towards the, you know, the western part of Louisiana, well, mostly the central Louisiana and the south, you know, Lafayette and that whole area.
Yeah.
You'll run into a lot of people you can't understand what they're saying.
You know, and it's funny, you're talking about Canal Street and they're, you know, and it's not funny for the circumstance they're in. There are homeless people who are of Cajun descent, and it's hard enough to understand some homeless people sometimes. But
yeah,
when they're trying to speak Cajun or Creole to you, you're like, "Are you just crazy? Or are you you're different than our Chicago homeless people?"
ours is horrible now. And anywhere you go in the city, under all the bridges and the overpasses, it's packed.
Oh, dude, they call us Tent City here in Chicago.
That's how pretty we much, are now.
Yep. Anywhere that there's an underpass or anywhere that there's an open field or greenery area in Chicago, it's just tents, and it's a horrible situation, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel horrible for them. It's just crazy when, you know, you hate to have that happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. And but it's also hurting the city, you know, when people come from out of town and you go downtown New Orleans and that's the first thing you see, you know, it makes a lot of people not want to come back.
Well, there's other things that don't make you want to come back. Like when you turn the heat on for the first time in the airport and it smells like a urinal. Yeah.
Well, that's all of Bourbon Street too.
Oh man, you ain't kidding. You know, walking around the French Quarter, walking around Bourbon Street, I've never seen so much trash in the street in my life.
I will say that's gotten a little bit better. We have there's a new garbage company down there, and they keep it somewhat clean as much as they can. But when everybody's walking down the street throwing beer cans and beer bottles all over the ground, it's hard to keep up with it.
Absolutely. Well, you're down. So you're in New Orleans. Let's talk about some of the restaurants, man. Why don't you give me your top three restaurant picks for New Orleans?
I'm going to have to go. I kind of picked some categories.
All right.
If you're looking for good seafood,
mm-hmm.
there is a – it's actually not even in New Orleans. It's kind of a hole-in-the-wall place that a lot of people don't know about. It's called Arnaud's.
Arnaud's.
Yes. It's like the letter R and O.
Yep.
And it's actually in Metairie, in a little area called Bucktown, which was a big fishing community back in the day. They have some of the best seafood you can get down here. Excellent po' boys. So, I mean, just like I said, kind of a hole in the wall place. It's kind of small. And when you go in, it's really crowded, but definitely recommend that you go try that out.
Okay.
Another seafood place that everybody seems to like, which is downtown, kind of in the quarter, is Deanie's.
Deanie's, okay.
Yeah, that's always been a popular one. And if you're into Italian food, there is again, this is another Metairie place, so right outside of New Orleans. It's called Nephew's Restaurante.
Okay.
It's owned by a guy who used to own another restaurant in New Orleans, and it's some of the best Italian food you could have. If anybody ever goes there, tell them you want the Feed Me, and they will bring you six or seven courses of small plates, and it's amazing.
Wow. Feed me, huh?
Yeah, the feed me.
Nice. All right. Well, from what I remember, and I'm looking at my list of things here, one of the best places I had a po' boy was from Mother's.
Yes, everybody knows Mother's.
Yep.
They got good sandwiches.
Mother's was awesome. We got actually a lot of people who do Cajun cooking up here, and you could not beat it. It was bar none. It was awesome. It was very, very good.
Do y'all do crawfish up there?
Yeah. So we have in February, there's a place by us called Chuck's Cajun Cafe, and every day he gets 100 pounds shipped up.
Nice.
And yeah, he does both. He goes the touffle and just regular ones that are boiled and suck on.
That's one of my favorite things in the world to eat is boiled crawfish. So,
another place that I really, really like. And this is probably a popular spot. It was probably just because I knew it. It seemed like, you know, got the most reviews, but was Cafe Beignet.
Yes. Yes.
That was very, you know, you can't go down and not have a beignet when you're,
you gotta have beignets, whether it be, Cafe Beignet, Cafe Du Monde. And then we also have Morning Call. So, I mean, there's a bunch of places that do them. Those are probably the three most popular.
And then one of the places we ate at, I just had mentioned it, was called Walk-On's.
Yes.
And Walk-On's, man, me and my buddy had a burger from there. It was like I think it was like a ghost pepper, but like I guess they get their peppers like they have like their own garden that they pick their peppers from.
Yeah.
Holy Christ, man. We're sitting there, we're like, man, this is hot, but it's hot.
Yeah,
but it was delicious.
Started in Baton Rouge, right by I want to say it was somebody that went to LSU,
yep,
or if not had something to do with LSU, and I think now they have three locations, maybe four locations. I know they have the one in the city now, but they got a mean burger over there.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. So, and little side note. You know, when you're coming off of Bourbon Street at 3 a.m, Crystals is always clutch, man.
Oh yeah, anything's good. Just like if you're on Bourbon Street, you want to get a Lucky Dog. It's probably the grossest thing in the world to eat. The little hot dog vendors push the cart around.
Yeah, the cart. Yep.
But they taste delicious when you're shit faced. You know,
at
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, or, you know, because you had too many hand grenades.
Yeah, the old hand grenade. I haven't had one of those in years.
Oh, man, I didn't want – I'm like, that's like a slut. That's just like diabetes and liver failure right there in one big large cup. But, yeah, no, and Crystals, if you ever come up north, Crystals is the equivalent to what we have, White Castle up here.
Yeah, like Harold and Kumar.
Yes. Literally,
I buy those from the store and you know, the frozen ones. They have the White Castle burgers that are frozen.
Oh, man.
I eat those all the time. I'm sure fresh ones are way better.
The fresh ones are so I don't know if it has to be a Chicago thing. So in Chicago, at our firehouses, so like one of the things, like if you work overtime, usually you put extra money into the food club. But you'll bring, they call it a crave case. So you'll bring a crave case at 5 o'clock, you know, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning to the firehouse of just fresh, of these cheeseburgers. And they also make breakfast sandwiches now. So you do like half breakfast sandwich, half cheeseburgers.
Nice.
And here's all of us destroying a case of White Castles by 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's awesome.
Yep. So shout out to Crystals, man, because they are the savior on at 3 a.m. Cool, man. So let's move on to some beers. You know, I'll be honest with you. I never when I was down on Bourbon Street or down around there, because I was with the bigger group, I didn't really get to hit up any breweries. So anything you got, I'm all game for, man.
Well, we have it used to be Dixie Brewing Company. They changed the name because you know, Dixie isn't necessarily acceptable now. It is now called Faubourg, which is the French word for neighborhood.
Okay.
Like a lot of the neighborhoods down here, like the Faubourg Marigny and all that stuff, that it's just a name for neighborhood. They make some good beer, but Nola Brewing Company is it's relatively new. But they've got, like I told you before we started, I'm not necessarily the biggest craft beer drinker. I like to stick with the old the old Miller Lights and light beers, but they make some nice stuff. They've got a blonde ale that I really like.
Okay.
Nola Brewing Company, and they do tours and all that stuff at their little place. I want to say it's on Chapultepec. If you've heard Chapultepec, that's a big one down here.
Yeah. That's
a famous street because nobody knows how to spell it, even when you live here.
Hold on. You know what? I got this map pulled up. So here's Canal. Okay. I don't know that street, but the one street we stood on, I'm going to butcher this, so bear with me.
Poydras.
Yeah. Yep. And I take it the other street's not too far away then, huh?
Yeah, the other Chapultepec actually runs like parallel with the river.
Okay. So
it runs right along the river. If you're looking at downtown New Orleans, it's probably back on the other side of the interstate, right along the river. It starts with a TCH. You would not expect that.
Urban South. Okay. Oh man, I forgot about this place now. That is Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken. I had that too.
They got some good fried chicken. I haven't had that in a long time.
Yep. I forgot about that place. I'll have to look for because I see Convention Center. I'd have to look on the here we go. I found it. I sure did find it. Yep. It's literally right on the other side of it. Yep. Okay. Hell yeah. We are planning another trip down there at some point in time.
Well, you're going to have to give me a holler. I had to take y'all fishing.
Absolutely. So now it's coming up on my map. There's a Urban South Brewery. Do you know anything about that one?
I want to say that's a newer one. I haven't really tried any of their stuff. I know there's a couple. We also have Abita, which I know Abita.
Yeah,
that's kind of a world up, or at least a nationwide kind of known thing now. They're actually on the north side of the lake, across from New Orleans. It's actually in Abita Springs.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, everybody's heard of Abita.
Yes, I have that.
Old Purple Haze. That's always one of my favorites. But I can only drink two or three of those.
Yep, that's good stuff down there. So you know, we're gonna get into. I know you don't have any distilleries in that area though, right?
Not that I know of.
Okay, but one thing that a lot of people, if you've been to Bourbon Street. There's a whole bunch of different mixed drinks that, you know, if someone goes to New Orleans, they'll be like, you got to try this drink, and you got to try this drink. And I will say the one drink I did have that I tried that was absolutely delicious, but just kind of weird setting after that was a Voodoo.
Where'd you get that at? I've never heard of that
one. Oh, man. So one of my lieutenants told me about it. You got to go down. So where was that? It was down by the mall. So if you walk down by, I'm looking at the map here just to jog my memory. Okay. So where Waldenburg Park is, there's a little, it's just a little stand that's over there. And, it's called a Voodoo. And I actually got I'm looking at the cup right now. It's up on the shelf right now, but man, I had one of those, and I start walking back. I'm like, oh, whatever was in here, man. I got to watch how I'm stepping, man. Get walking while intoxicated.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows there. I don't know if y'all went to Pat O'Brien's while y'all were down here.
Pat O'Brien's. No, unless I just don't remember.
That's kind of a famous one on Bourbon Street. And they have the Hurricane.
And oh yeah, okay, yeah,
yeah. That's that. I mean, that's a New Orleans famous one right there.
Yep, hurricanes are great, and then we talked about the hand grenade.
Yeah, those are.
And then, well, I started seeing them pop up more and more, not just in New Orleans, but I saw them down in Key West. I've seen them out long Broadway now, but like the slut, like the first time I ever saw it was in Broadway. It was on Bourbon Street. Was like it's where you get the grenade, but it's a whole like slushy, like a whole slushy machine. Like, yeah, think about going to 7-Eleven.
They all come out of that damn little squirt machine, just like a Slurpee or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
But
you got it.
I'm not a big fan of those. Those are hangovers in a cool looking cup.
Yeah, and there's one other drink that we had down there. I can't remember the name of it, but it had pretty much it was a gin drink. I forgot what it was called, but I'll tell you what though, that night on Bourbon Street we were all sorts of fucked up. So sorry if my memory doesn't jog me that well.
I've had quite a few of those nights down Bourbon Street.
But I tell you what, man, Bourbon Street, if you've never experienced it just once. And I was fortunate. So we spent, you know, the day before, the day of, and the day after Halloween down there.
Y'all saw some cool shit then.
Oh yeah. It was a lot of fun.
The only better time to go than probably Halloween, or if you know it's during a Saints game, is Mardi Gras. And I personally don't go down there during Mardi Gras because I don't like that many people. So I'm not a big fan of the crowds, but you know, Mardi Gras Day on Bourbon Street is like just a sea of people.
Oh yeah. That's too many people for me.
Oh, see, we're in the same boat there.
Yep. There was just enough people where I was like, okay, you know, for Halloween, it wasn't where I couldn't, like if something were to go down, I could still run and make my way through. But you know, Mardi Gras, I've seen pictures of Mardi Gras and where your ass
moving around.
Yeah, your sardines in the street. Oh yeah. So cool, man. So what you know, obviously Bourbon Street's a huge attraction. What other, so there's a lot of musical history to New Orleans. Is there any recommendations you'd like to give out for like historical markers or places to check out that people should see and visit that strays away from like Bourbon Street and the norm?
Well, Preservation Hall that's still kind of in the quarter. But Tipitina's, it's a bar kind of uptown. You would call it uptown, I guess.
Okay.
It's just a music venue bar, and there's always good acts playing at Tipitina's.
Okay.
You got that. A lot of the bar rooms that are off, you know, outside of the quarter that have live music always have, you know, the good New Orleans style music, you know, the jazz inspired stuff, kind of that, you know, folky rock music.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Stuff that I'm into. I'm in the New Orleans music scene, so.
Sure. You know what? I'm trying to pull up. There was an area we went to, and I can't think of it for the life of me right now, and I'm going to find it right now because it was one street, and it had like three different music bars on it. It was just outside the French Quarter.
Was it the Treme?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, the Treme's famous for the jazz, kind of like a jazz hall ballroom kind of setup. I mean, that's, you'll get guys like Trombone Shorty, who's
okay,
you know, wildly famous now.
Yeah,
he'll play random little pop up shows and stuff in some of those bars, and like nobody will know what's going on, and all of a sudden, somebody famous will just walk in and start playing on the stage.
Yep, that's exactly it. Yep. Yep, there it is. Yes, sir.
I knew what you were talking about as soon as you said it.
Yep. It was cool. And like I said, you're kind of out of the French Quarter, but you're in an area where it's just it's culturally enriched. It's very it's awesome over there.
There's a lot of even when you're not in the quarter, you can go to a lot of the smaller neighborhoods and it still has that New Orleans feel, you know, like you could tell you're in New Orleans. And that's what I love about the city. Pretty much anywhere you go, you could tell it's a place like, you know, that's not like a lot of other places.
Absolutely. Do you have any other recommendations or places to check out while we're down there? Or if somebody was traveling down there, what you'd want to do, put on your list?
I know we were talking travel, but to bring up fishing again, we have New Orleans City Park.
Okay. Which is
one of the largest public parks in the country, I believe. And if you go in there, there's something crazy like 4,000 square feet or feet of like shoreline that runs along the bayous and stuff. And the Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries, they stock it every couple of years with Florida strain bass.
Oh,
and that's where I cut my teeth bass fishing. Like that's where I learned how to fish. And a friend of mine actually has the record for the largest fish caught out of there, and it was just over 9 pounds.
Awesome. So,
I mean, this is a thing, like the deepest spot in the whole park's probably 4 foot, and they're growing giants.
Man, that's awesome. And if I'm not mistaken, around Halloween, because I remember when I was down there, they have a huge music festival in that park too, right?
Voodoo.
Voodoo, yep.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and there's always big names playing voodoo too. So, yep. Like Foo Fighters usually play.
Foo Fighters was the first one that came that I remember. Yeah. Yep.
I actually saw Lil Wayne at at Voodoo probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't been to Voodoo in a while. Again, that's a little bit too many people
for me. Oh, yeah. I feel you on that. Well, man. We're wrapping up to that hour marker here.
Has it been that long? Damn.
So, you know, the last couple minutes, man, I want to give it to you. I want to tell you, number one, thank you for coming on the show and sharing your hometown with us and giving your recommendations and, you know, sharing the fishing experience. It's awesome. And, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed. There's people who listen to this who do pick up advice. I get messages back and forth. Hey, you know, listen to your show. I followed what, you know, person said and did this. So thank you for taking the time to do that. Is there anybody who you want to give thanks to, any kind of sponsors, important people in life? If your fiance is listening to this, you want to tell her how much you love her? Floor is yours.
Well, I got, first off, thanks to my fiance and my two kids. They're, you know, everything. They put up with my shit all the time and let me do my fishing thing. And she comes fishing with me all the time as well. So, I just got my two big sponsors, or I say big sponsors, my two sponsors, the Hooks at Hoodlums,
mm-hmm.
My guys, they're from up north, but I'm repping them down here. And then Stretching Lines Baits.
Yep.
That's my
teammate. Oh, did I say it out loud? Hold on. I'm not supposed to announce that yet. That's coming up soon.
Yeah. big things coming from both of those guys.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the opportunity to get on here and let y'all know about the fishing and the culture down here. And hopefully, you know, some people come down here and check it out. Orleans is a great place to visit, man.
It sure is, man. And I'm looking for to get back down there soon. So definitely take some of that. Maybe I just won't even go. I'll just stay to the park and catch a 9-pounder.
Hey, bro. Yeah. Like I said, that's where I cut my teeth. That's where I learned how to bass fish. So let me know. I'll take you out there. We'll try and get on a big one. That's my biggest, my personal best came out of there. 6 pounds, 7 ounces. It was a giant.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, where can people find and follow you, Christian?
I'm on Instagram at big_easy_bassin. You can come be my friend on Facebook, Christian Gerstner. And I just recently started a fan page for Big Easy Bassin. So if you
are you talking an OnlyFans page right now?
Oh no, not I probably would make no money off of that.
Don't sell yourself short. You're way worth way more than that.
I mean, I could go fishing naked and put it on there, but I don't think too many people want to watch that.
Hey man, you never know, man. There's people got what they like, what they like. So, and if they like it, they make you money when everyone's happy.
Oh well, I'm hoping to get a YouTube going sooner or later. I have a couple of older videos from fishing in the park. If y'all want to go check them out, they're really shitty quality. But yeah, I'll have that rolling sooner than later. But I'm hoping next year is going to be mostly tournament stuff. So
awesome, man. Well, good luck to you in your 2022 season. And like I said, thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Cool. Stick around, all right?
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.
All right. All right, guys. That's been another episode of Off the Water. Check back in 2 weeks when we have our next episode with our next guest. Where are we going? Nobody knows, but you sure know it's going to be a great time off the water. Till next time. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.